And nice to see the guys in tuxedos today. It's amazing. Yes. Everybody so well dressed on such a Memorial Day as Thanksgiving. Now, many of you may not know much about Thanksgiving in North America, or maybe you do, but it's been around for just over 400 years, so it's quite a tradition right now. And the tradition started when the pilgrims arrived to the United States back in 1621, and they had their first Thanksgiving, thanking God for a safe voyage and for a good summer and good crops and health and strength. And the tradition in North America has been, up until this time, both in Canada and the United States, to have a turkey meal. That is, for their meat, they were going to have turkey. You know, I was in the States some time ago, and it was around Thanksgiving, and some advertisement about Thanksgiving said something about celebrating Turkey Day. That's a far cry from what it was. A day to thank God, a day to celebrate the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. And to call it Turkey Day would be a disgrace, I'm sure. So we're going to thank God today for His mercy, His grace, His love, His forgiveness, His family. It could extend to health and strength and daily bread and all of the things that sometimes we take for granted. Could I ask you a searching question? When you got up this morning, did you address God? Did you happen to remember that the Creator has made you and has a plan for your life? Did you think about it? Did you happen to give him the fruit of your lips, that is, thanking God, the sacrifice of praise? It's a searching question, and I hope one that you have addressed in some way and give some considerate thinking about. Now, let me ask you another question. This question is simply this. If you are a Christian, now maybe you're not, and that's okay. We're glad you're here. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus yet, we're very happy that you are with us today. But the question goes like this. If you are a Christian, what have you done today that only a Christian can do? If you're not a Christian, you can't do this. This is just for Christians. What have you done today that only a Christian can do? Well, you put that in your back pocket and hold it for a bit, and we'll come back to it. Now, let's go to Paul's letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy, and chapter 3. If you have a Bible, 2 Timothy and chapter 3. And I want to begin reading in verse number 1. And I want you to think with me today on the theme of Thanksgiving. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And now the writer, Paul, will give us some of the earmarks some of the characteristics of the latter days or the last days. Verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. I'll end my reading there. Again, reminding you of the theme of thanksgiving. So Paul says to us, there's a time coming. It's called the end times, or it's called the last days. Now, let me remind you that the term last days began 2,000 years ago. Yeah. The last days began when the Lord Jesus went back to heaven. You know the story, I'm sure. God sent his son from heaven. He came to die for your sins. He made his way from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. Took him 32 or 33 years to get there. He was doing the will of God. He was come for a very significant purpose. He came to die for you. Isn't that interesting? Came all the way from heaven, right to earth, right to you, right for you, to die for you. This is what the Bible calls the good news, the gospel. Christ died for our sins. Put your name in there. Christ died for Joe's sins. Christ died for, put your name in there, your sins. The trip brought him all the way from heaven, all the way to earth, all the way to the cross. Didn't we just sing it? Hallelujah, hallelujah, for the cross. He came. We got no other hope, no other way, no other way to God except through the death, are you listening, and his burial and his resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was on earth for 40 days after he rose from the dead. And then guess what? He went to heaven. When he went to heaven, the clock started ticking because he said, I'm coming back. If I go away, I will come again. And the Lord Jesus has been gone 2,000 years. And we are in what theologians call, what Bible teachers call, the last days. The last days before his return. Now, when Paul writes to Timothy in this chapter, he says that in the last days, perilous, difficult, unparalleled times will come. And then he said, let me tell you what they'll be like. And he begins to name some of the earmarks, some of the characteristics of the last days. And in chapter 2, near the end, he said, one of the things that's going to characterize the last days is unthankful. You know what unthankful means? It means you show or you feel nothing for gratitude or for people even being kind for you. No feelings, no, you show no pleasure, you show no gratitude, you show no relief in any way. You just, are you listening? You just, I don't care. I don't care. I am unthankful. It's amazing to me how that the world's going that way. You'd think, hey, everybody's got to be kind of, you appreciate something, right? Somebody opened a door for you, somebody gave you a gift, somebody gave you a rod, somebody helped you out when it was hard. No, I'm unthankful. You say those are just unique individuals. They don't know anything. They don't know any better. They're just unthankful. Well, you know what? Paul says society is going like that. Do you know these people that are unthankful? Do you know what they think? They think the world owes them something. They think everything revolves around them. I want the government to come in, meet all my needs. I want all my neighbors to come and meet my needs. I think my mom and dad should meet all my needs. I think my wife, my husband should meet all my needs. I don't care. It's all about me. It's all about me getting what I want. I'm just unthankful. You owe it to me. You say, well, it couldn't be like that. Yes, it can. Let's go to our second text, Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1. Let me remind you, thus I take something for granted. When we come together as a community of Christians and we open the Bible and we read the Bible, do you know why we do that? It's because we believe the Bible is God's gift to us. It is God's words to us. It is how we know who God is. He tells us in the Bible, the Word of God, who He is, tells us what He is doing, tells us how He is doing it. We as Christians believe that this book is final authority in our life. Doesn't matter what anybody else says, doesn't matter what anybody else does, it doesn't matter. We take our instructions from the Bible. It is the very breath of God. It is the very mind of God at our fingertips. I can open it, I can read it, I can study it, and I know what God expects of me, and I know what I expect of God. His promises are yea and amen. And it's a book by which, are you listening, we believe will give us the answer to sins forgiven and life eternal. This is how it works. So when Paul writes to the Romans, let me begin reading in verse 16. Now you're going to watch for the theme, right, of thanksgiving. That's our theme. Verse 16, Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now, the gospel of Christ is the message that God sent His Son to redeem us, to buy us, to die in our place. We're the sinners. We have offended a holy God. We've gone our own independent way. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. All have gone astray. Dear friend, before a holy God, we're in trouble. We have sinned against God. The good news, the gospel is Christ came and died for our sin. He took our place. The wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. Who died for us? Christ died for us, was buried, and rose again. Now, watch what he says. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ for that message. It is the power of God for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Verse 17, for in it, that is, in the gospel message, the righteousness of God is revealed, that is, shown, openly declared from faith to faith, As it is written, the just shall live by faith. But notice verse 18. Verse 17 says, the righteousness of God is revealed. You know what verse 18 says? The wrath of God is revealed. So the righteousness of God, the goodness of God, the ways of God, we learn that through the message of the gospel. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, watch this. If you want to know the goodness of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the righteousness of God, you can get that. You can learn that. You can understand that. But the only way you get it is by faith. God says you must believe what I tell you. God says, you're the sinner, my son is the savior. You must have him as your own personal savior. And that is by faith. But he said, if you don't want the righteousness, you don't want the love, you don't want the forgiveness, you can have the wrath of God. Because the wrath of God is revealed. Know who it's revealed to. It's people who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Now, let me pause there for a minute. God says, I made the world and everything that's in it. And every person that's ever lived on earth knows they're living in a world. They're living in a world that I have created. The visible and the invisible things. The things that you can't understand, can't imagine. Things that you can see, the stars, the moon, the heaven, the water, the mountains, the trees, all of these things, they show that I am the eternal creator, that I made it all. And he ends verse 20 by saying, they got enough. It's enough. They're without excuse. Now, let me tell you how that goes. Let's suppose you knew nothing. You've never been in church, never had a Bible, never met a Christian. You know nothing. You're born in the jungle, born in the desert, born in the asphalt jungles of big cities. It doesn't matter. You have no concept of God, except one. You live in a world that he created. And God said, that's enough. That's enough for God to say they're without excuse. Look around someday. Do you think this whole planet popped out of the dew? Do you think we are the results of a big bang 400 billion years ago? Do you think that there's not a designer, a master designer? Do you think that your own body, fearfully and wonderfully made, and the people around you, is just an accident that happened? Dear friend, give your head a shake. There's one thing that creation and that mankind screams out. You know what it is? There's a designer. There is someone who made it. And God says, in their heart, I put a void. And it starts by saying, wow, look at this. I wonder who made this. And God says, there's enough there for them to seek me. And so he says in verse 20, they're without excuse. But look at verse 21. Because although they knew God, you say, wait a minute, wait a minute. How did they know God? Because of creation. Because they know somebody made it, because they realize that there's something about human beings that is inherently different from animals and birds and fish. They know God. But watch it, watch it. They did not glorify him as God. And the next statement is our theme. Nor were thankful. I'm going to tell you something. Thanksgiving's a big deal, folks. They say, well, I'm not thankful. You're in trouble. If you're not thankful, you're in trouble. You're on the wrong side. You're on the wrong team. You're not thankful? Listen, please listen. They did not glorify him as God. They didn't say, there must be God, there must be a creator, there must be a designer. No, I'm not going to glorify God. Nor were thankful. Notice what they became, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You know what that, you know, let me tell you what that is. God says, you don't want me? You're on your own. Go for it. You don't want me? You don't think I made everything? You can't see the fingerprints of God on every tree and star and human being created in my image? No, I'm not thankful. I won't glorify God. You're on the wrong side, and you will live to regret that if you're not careful. Their foolish hearts became darkened. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of this passage, but if you want to know what you are like, this is you that won't acknowledge God, okay? Is there anybody that said, no, I'm not acknowledging God? Nope, I'm not thankful. You're on that team? You read the rest of this chapter, please. This is all about you. This is what happens. God says, you don't want me? You don't have to have me. I'm a perfect gentleman. I'm just telling you the truth. It's not going to be good for you. And you're without excuse. That means that you will be under the judgment of God. Now, let's go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Luke's Gospel and chapter 17. Remember our theme, Thanksgiving. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Now, I'm going to ask you the question again we started with. What have you done today that only a Christian can do? Now, don't say, well, I went to church. A lot of non-Christians go to church. Don't say I prayed. A lot of unbelievers pray, some higher power or something. Maybe even they might think they're praying to God. Don't say, well, I read my Bible. No, a lot of people can read it. What have you done today that only a Christian can do? You watch for our theme in the text now. Chapter 17, Luke's Gospel, verse 11. Watch your Bibles. Now it happened as Jesus went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers. Now, these men had a skin disease called leprosy. It starts off relatively insignificant, a few white spots here and there. There were no hospitals, no medication, nothing to cure leprosy in those days. You got leprosy, you were in big trouble. Serious physical deterioration. It would eat away at the extremities of your body, your fingers, your feet, your nose, your ears, and it would keep eating until it destroyed your life. And anyone who had this disease would have been isolated from their family and from the community that they lived in, and they would ultimately have to live in a community called a leper colony, where only people with this disease lived. 10 lepers met him, notice their position, who stood afar off. Matter of fact, the Old Testament would give instructions about people who had leprosy. If they were to meet somebody on the road, they would have to cover themselves and they would have to cry out, "Unclean, unclean, don't come close to me." You remember what happened during COVID-19? People had to wear a mask and you couldn't go together and had to separate and all. This was like that on steroids, okay? They were not allowed to go into a community just out in the open. They stood afar off. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices, and this is what they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Verse 14, when Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Old Testament says, if you got the signs of leprosy, and you think it might be leprosy, you think it might not be leprosy, there's a whole regime of things that you have to do. One of them was that the Old Testament priest would give the final authority on it. He would say that you did or that you didn't. And if for some miraculous way, what you had really wasn't leprosy, there was still a pattern you had to go through. There was a period of a week or maybe 8 days, and you had to do certain things, and the priest would inspect that, and if indeed you were clean, he could declare you clean. So Jesus said to them, they still had the spots. They still had the leprosy eating away on them. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And they believed it. They obeyed it. They turned and they went for the priest because they believed that Jesus had cleansed them. It says, and we read it in verse 14, and so it was as they went. They went out of obedience to the Lord Jesus. They were cleansed. They took a step. They start going toward the priest. They look down. They're cleansed. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, like the other nine, they all saw that they were healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Pause. In verse 13, they lifted up their voices and cried for mercy. In verse 15, one out of the 10 lifted up his voice, a loud voice, and he glorifies God. 16, fell down on his face at Jesus' feet. What did he do? There's our theme. Gave him thanks. Notice who he is. He's a Samaritan. Who's a Samaritan? A Samaritan is a person who's not a full Jew. Intermarriage, half Jew. Samaritans were despised. You might remember the story of the Samaritan woman in John 4. The disciples couldn't believe that Jesus is talking to her. Remember that? And so Samaritans are not Jews. They're not in on the promises of Jews. And the Samaritan was an outcast already. This guy had double trouble. He was already a Samaritan. Now he's got leprosy. But out of the 10, he's the only one that turned around. I put this in perspective. You got cancer. You got a month to live. And Jesus heals you. Don't you think you would say, thank you for healing me? Thank you for having mercy on me? The others evidently were all Jews. They got a right to go to the priest. They're going to the priest. They saw they were healed. They're going to the priest. That's what the law demanded. The Samaritan looks around. He's healed. He thinks, I got no priest to go to anyhow. I'm going back to the man that healed me. When I was thinking about this message earlier this morning, you know what I was thinking about? In Luke chapter 10, there's a story of the, listen, Good Samaritan. I thought, wouldn't that be interesting? A good Samaritan stopped and helped a poor man who'd been beat up and robbed. You remember that story? All the religious people went by, but the good Samaritan stopped. Don't know if there's any contact or content that would connect the two, but that's a neat thought for me. So here he is. He's falling down on his face. That is the position of worship at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So in verse 17, Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 that were cleansed? Where are the other 9? Oh, they're on their way to the priest. When they get to the priest, they got to wait another week or 8 days. And then they're waiting on a man to declare that they are clean. A Samaritan went to the man that cleansed him. And where are the other 9? Verse 18, were there not found any who returned and give God glory except this foreigner? That's how they use that word. The Samaritan was the foreigner. Jesus said to him, arise, go your way. Go your way. Go your way. He didn't tell him go to the priest. He said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Mr. Bill McDonald, in his commentary, said there were 10 that were cleansed of leprosy. There was one that was cleansed of his soul that day. The other had faith to believe that Jesus could heal them from leprosy. This man came back glorified and worshiped the Lord Jesus. I'm going back to my question, what have you done that only a Christian can do? Only a Christian. Let me answer that for you. I'm not saying it's the only thing you can do as a Christian. I'm saying it's one thing that you can do as a Christian. You can thank the Lord for saving you. If you're not a Christian, you can't do that because you're not saved. You're in the wrong group. You're on the wrong team. Remember that? You're in the team that suppresses truth. You're in the team that says, I don't know where creation come from, and more and further than that, I don't care where it came from. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. You're on the wrong team, and you cannot thank God for salvation today because you don't have salvation. You're still in your sins, and you will perish, and you will stand before the judge of all the earth and give an account, and you will be cast into the lake of fire. That's the team you're on. Characterized by many things, but in our theme today, the one that stands out for today is this unthankful. I'm not giving thanks. God owes me. Really? If you continue like you are, you will know the truth. You can't suppress the truth forever. One day you'll stand before the one who is truth, and he will cast you into the lake of fire. Don't listen, you're a smart person. Don't be stupid. Don't be given over to a depraved mind. You want the righteousness of God revealed to you, God's love and grace and kindness and forgiveness. You want that to be revealed? Take a step of faith. Tell God you're the sinner. Jesus is the Savior. Trust Him as your Savior. Because if not, are you listening? The wrath of God will be revealed to you. It will be revealed. Leprosy of the soul, that's what mankind has. Away from God, far off, separated. But you can be brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. He shed His blood for you. He died for you. He rose again. You got a plan for your life. Please don't shut Him out. Trust Him today. Go to Him this very hour and say, thank you for loving me, for giving your Son for a poor sinner like me. I don't want to live like this anymore. I want Christ to be my Savior. I want Him to come into my heart. I want you to show me your will for my life. I want to be a Christian. I want to read the Bible and know what I'm supposed to do. And I want to have a thankful heart today. Let's pray. Father, we know it's a work of your Spirit, not the work of man. Should there be someone here today that up until perhaps even this hour has never been able to thank God for Jesus Christ, God's most wonderful gift to mankind? But they want to thank you for Him today. They want to say, oh God, thank you for sending your Son to be my Savior. I want Him to come into my heart. I want Him to change my life. I want to know what your plan is. I don't want to be on the wrong side. I want to be on God's side. Father, in your mercy, help some poor sinner to take that step of faith today and say, I believe God. I believe the Word of God. I believe the Lord Jesus died for me and rose again. I want Him to be my Savior. Because, Father, we know your Word says if they don't do that, the wrath of God will be revealed to them. They will see it. They will know it. They will experience it. But they can escape the wrath to come by trusting Christ. Father, we commit them to you today. In your mercy, God. The lepers cried out for mercy. We cry out for mercy. In your mercy, Lord, may someone say yes and thank you today for Jesus. In His name, amen.